You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now join the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will on this glorious, glorious feast day, the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Mother Mary, the patronage of Radio Maria as well as the School of Mary. So we're going to begin with prayer as we always do, and we'll be using a supplication, I think very apropos for today. It comes from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. This is the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven, the soul to its glorious Queen, us to Our Lady. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So again, just a joy to be here. What a glorious day. Actually, every day is a glorious day when we wake up, both physically as well as spiritually. And we are truly blessed to be alive at this time. It's the Solemnity, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception of Our Blessed Lady. And we're going to place this feast in the divine will of God, as everything is contained in the divine will of God. I'd like to, Mother and Sisters, open up with a passage, if I may, that really, I think, sets the stage for everything that's going to be discussed, everything that's going to be reflected on, everything that's going to be prayed upon today during this session, and every session for that matter. But this comes from Volume 34, December 8th, today, 1936. Quote, "My child, I want to honor my celestial mother. I want to narrate to you the story of her immaculate conception. Only I, Jesus, who am the author, can worthily speak of this great event, prodigious acts, her words, her steps, before having life in her person, were first conceived in me, Son of the living God. Her love, incarnate in mine, enclosed everything and everyone, and loved as God loves, with the same madness toward us and toward all creatures. Even her prayer was conceived in mine. My child, really no one is qualified to speak of the Immaculate Conception of my Divine Mother. Even Holy Church, up till now, did not reveal but tiny bits of knowledge of her sanctity, of her greatness, and of the gifts with which she was enriched. Only I, having conceived her in me, can narrate the true story of her life and reveal the marvels that were accomplished in her by our divine fiat." End quote. That's our blessed Lord speaking. Now, I should have prefaced, Mother and Sisters, again, this is new information being given to us by our blessed Lord, but it's not a new revelation. Remember, Article 66 of the Catholic Catechism states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the generations to better understand what has already been given, end quote. So again, God is going to explicate what has already been given. He's going to expand upon what we already know about this glorious feast day. And again, everything is going to be encompassed in that. Everything discussed today will be like a breath of fresh air. Again, not a new revelation, but a better explication, a more thorough explication, a better understanding of what's been given to us. Hello, Mother. Hello, Sisters. Blessed feast day to you.
Everybody out there. Happy feast day to all of you. It's a great day with many graces and blessings coming our way for this beautiful feast of Our Lady. I was just reading in Volume 15, December 8th, 1922, our Lord was talking about the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. He says, my daughter, the Immaculate Conception of my beloved mother was prodigious and all marvelous, so much so that heaven and earth were astonished and made feasts. All three divine persons competed among themselves. The Father poured out an immense sea of power. I, the Son, poured out an infinite sea of wisdom, and the Holy Spirit an immense sea of eternal love, which merging into one formed one single sea. And in the middle of this sea, the conception of this virgin was formed, chosen among the chosen. So the divinity administered the substance of this conception, and this sea was not only the center of life of this admirable and singular creature, but it remained around her, not only to keep her defended from anything which might shadow her, but to give her in every instant new beauties, new graces, power, wisdom, love, and privileges, etc. So her little nature was conceived in the center of this sea and was formed and grew under the influence of these divine waves, so much so that as soon as this noble and singular creature was formed, the divinity did not want to wait, as it usually does with other creatures. It wanted her embraces, the return of her love, her kisses, and to enjoy her innocent smiles. Therefore, as soon as her conception was formed, I gave her the use of reason. I endowed her with all sciences. I made her aware of our joys and our sorrows with regard to creation. Even from the maternal womb, she would come to heaven at the foot of our throne to give us her embraces, the return of her love, her tender kisses, and throwing herself into our arms, she would smile at us with such delight of gratitude and thanksgiving as to snatch our smiles. Oh, how beautiful it was to see this innocent and privileged creature, enriched with all the divine qualities, coming into our midst, all love, all trust, without fear. In fact, sin alone is what puts distance between creator and creature, breaking love, dissolving trust, and striking fear. So she would come into our midst as queen, who with her love given by us would dominate us, enrapture us, put us in feast, and capture yet more love. And we would let her do it, enjoying the love that enraptured us and constituting her queen of heaven and earth. But do you know what was the first act which the celestial creature did when she found herself before our throne for the first time? She recognized that all the evil of man had been the split between his will and that of his creator. She trembled, and with no delay, she bound her will to the foot of my throne without even wanting to know it. And my will bound itself to her and constituted itself the center of her life, so much so that all currents, all relations, all communications opened between her and us. And there was no secret which we did not entrust to her. This indeed was the most beautiful, the greatest, the most heroic act she did, to lay down her will at our feet, an act which made us, as though enraptured, constitute her all, queen of all. Do you see then what it means to bind oneself to my will and to not let one's, to not know one's own? So Our Lady never knew her own will. She realized, you know, what caused the split between God and man. It was sin. It was giving in to his own will, his human will, rather than wanting to give in to the divine will. So she saw how terrible that is, not to do God's will. And she decided at that moment never to even want to know her own will. You know, what a privileged soul Our Lady is, you know, and how wonderful, beautiful a mother we have. And we have to know that she loves her children so much. She loves us so much. She just desires for us to be in heaven with her and her son and the Trinity for all eternity to be there. And she'll do anything to help us to live in God's most holy divine will. Her whole life she gives to us, all the acts and rounds she did, she gives to us as gift. She wants us to take it all so that we can grow in that living in the divine will as she did. So, you know, it's possible to arrive there with all the helps that Our Lady gives us and our Lord and all the saints who went before us and all those who have done acts and rounds in divine will before us, all the acts and rounds Louisa did for us. All of those are gifts that we can take as our own. And Our Lady, most of all, just wants us to take hers, everything she did for each one of us.
Yeah. You know, Mother, also, it reminds me, our Blessed Lady is a perfect example of what you've discussed with us before on air regarding the value of knowledge and how knowledge can take us, it can be an extreme paradigm shift. For example, we talked about the analogy of, you know, if we find a stone on the ground and it looks worthless, we put it in the drawer, but we take it to a gemologist and all of a sudden the gemologist says, no, that's worth $50,000. Well, all of a sudden it goes from our drawer into our safety deposit box. And then we go to another gemologist and he says, no, it's worth $1 million. So as our knowledge of the value of that stone increases, our actions change. And the same thing here, Our Lady had the knowledge, she put the knowledge into practice. And that's, I think, what our big lesson is. Again, the Pharisees, God bless them, they had the knowledge, they just did not put it into practice. They allowed their human will to overcome God's most holy divine will and stay steadfast, cemented where it was. We need to let go. And I think that's the great lesson here. And the more we learn about the gift of living the divine will, I think the easier it is to let go. Not to get rid of our human will, because we cannot do that. But we defer our human will for our Lord's most holy divine will. It's beautiful. And it's all here, Our Lady.
Our Lady had such a knowledge. She had knowledge of all sciences. It says she had so much knowledge to understand what one act, one round in divine will means, that those acts and rounds in divine will had such power, such grace that she did. And we can take those, what she did, as our own. And get the same grace that Our Lady got from all the acts and round that she did. If we have that same knowledge, that same belief that this is really true, what our Lord says in these beautiful books, that it does happen. Our desire makes everything happen. Our desires become realities to him.
That's right. And our catechism, Article 507 states, Our Blessed Mother is the perfect model and example of our church. Hello, Sister Francesca.
Hey, Peter, as you were talking about the Pharisees, it made me think, you know, the Pharisees, yeah, were filled with knowledge, but they had no relationship with God. You know, their knowledge just kind of stayed in their head and they were so focused on the externals and how they looked and how they appeared to others. So they didn't grow. In fact, they totally, you know, with their human will, they totally blocked the work of God in their lives. Whereas Our Lady had more knowledge than anybody, had way more knowledge than them, but she was totally humble with it. All of the knowledge that she had was used to do nothing but unite with God and glorify God. So it's just so beautiful. And like you said, she's our model.
Sister, really quickly, I'm sorry to interject, but I remember also what Jesus says, and this seems like a contrarian approach, but it really makes sense. Our Lord said the key to humility is confidence. Think about that. Not overconfidence, but if Our Lady was confident that she knew what she knew, and she knew that she knew it, and therefore humility was easy. Confidence breeds humility. It's really interesting. It's a nice thought for meditation contemplation. I'm sorry, Sister.
No, amen, Peter. I'm glad you brought that up because when Mother was talking about before, you know, we have to believe it's possible. That was exactly what my meditation was for today, is that in all humility and knowing that our nothingness, we have to believe, we have to be sure that God can, wants us and will have us live in his most holy and divine will. And it's going to happen through the hands of our Blessed Mother, just like he gave everything else to the world, just like how he gave every other grace. And I wanted to read a passage that I was meditating upon today from volume 36, December 8th, 1938. Jesus tells Louisa, meditating on the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Mother. And Jesus tells Louisa, "My blessed daughter, today is the feast of the Immaculate Conception. It is the most beautiful feast, the greatest one for us, for heaven and for earth. In the act of creating this celestial creature from nothing, we made such prodigies and wonders that the heavens and the earth remains completely filled. We called everyone, nobody was put aside, so that all could be reborn together with her. It was the new birth of everyone and everything. Our divine being overflowed so much that in the act of her conception, we put at her disposal seas of love, of sanctity and light, and with which she could love all, make saints of all, and give light to all. The celestial little one felt an innumerable population being reborn in her little heart. And what did our paternal goodness do? First, we gave her to ourselves so that we could delight and court her, and she could delight and court us. Then we gave her to every creature. Oh, how much she loved us and loved all with such intensity and fullness that there is no point in which her love does not arise. The whole creation, the sun, the wind, the sea, are all filled with the love of this holy creature because they too felt reborn with her to new glory. They even had the great glory of possessing their queen to the extent that when she prays to us for the good of her people with a love, with a love that we cannot resist, she says, "Adorable Majesty, remember that you offered me. I am yours and I am theirs too. So by right, you must grant what I ask." And the first thing I thought was, what is she asking for? You know, that we live in God's most holy and divine will, that we live as she lived. Daniel O'Connor put it really well once. None of us could ever reach the heights of Our Lady. You know, she's there by herself. However, we're all called to the heights of that type of sanctity, that living in the divine will that Our Lady lived in. And like we were saying before, we really have to believe it. And I was praying about this passage and trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to say? You know, what are you telling me in this passage? Because, you know, that's the only thing I can really share with anybody else is what the Lord's speaking to my heart. And what he was telling me was that everybody needs to ask that question. We all need to ask in our hearts, you know, Our Lady, what are you praying for me? What are you asking me to do? We need to, like we were talking about before, how the Pharisees didn't have a relationship with God. We can't just let the knowledges that we read and that we learn about and that maybe we listen to through various cenacles remain in our head. They have to enter into our hearts. And the only way they can do that is through prayer and through relationship with Jesus and our Blessed Mother. You know, and just some concrete ways we can do that. We can do that through Lectio Divina, you know, reading scripture. You know, this time during Advent, I've been focusing on, you know, the early life of Jesus, you know, the life of the Holy Family, our Blessed Mother. Today I was meditating, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, the readings were of the Annunciation. Just kind of reading those readings and just in peace and calm, asking, you know, asking our Lord, asking the Holy Spirit, asking Our Lady, okay, what do you want me to take from this? You know, as you're praying your rosary, doing the rounds, you know, the first joyful mystery, you know, the Annunciation, as just start simply just by putting your I love you on things and without us even trying to meditate, at least for me anyway, those simple little I love yous turn into a beautiful meditation that doesn't come from me, but I really feel like it's the Holy Spirit. And Our Lady really wants to speak to each of our hearts individually. I think we kind of have to get that into our heads. It's not like Our Lady just loves all and wants everyone to live in the divine will, which is true. But we also have to remember that you, that us personally, we are not an exception to the rule. She wants each of us to live in the divine will. So, you know, starting that dialogue with our Blessed Mother, you know, living our life in conversation with her, in relationship with her. And then just really quick, just what kind of the Lord was speaking to my soul as I was meditating upon the Annunciation. I was reading Luke chapter 1, and I just kind of stopped on verses 35 to 37, which I'll read really quick. It was right after our Blessed Mother was asking the angel, you know, how can this be? I don't know man. And the angel responds to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." So as we're reborn with Our Lady, that Holy Spirit wants to overshadow us as well. And with our Blessed Mother, you know, taking strength from her belief and her faith and her fiat, we have to believe also that God wants to and can do it in us because nothing is impossible with God.
Amen. And you know, in that passage you just read, sister, I'm taking when our Blessed Lord states, quote, "We called everyone. Nobody was put aside." And then I go back to, or I go to Psalm 51, which again, today we have the hour of grace from 12 noon to 1 p.m. or anytime we can do it, of course. And in that, there's a supplication, number 11. It says, quote, "Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." End quote. So we're asking for it. Again, that's one of those elements that God wants us to do. He says for us to receive this grace, this gift of the divine will, we must be in the state of grace. We must have an ardent desire. We must have an upright intention, and we must ask for it. even though he promises to give it to us, we must ask for it. So cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit, because thy Holy Spirit will guide us into and through the gift of the divine will. Hello, Mother.
I was just reading again, volume 17. That was December 8th, 1924. And Louisa was wondering, what kind of test did Our Lady have? Or she thought that Our Lady didn't have a test. She said, you know, the angels were tested. Adam and Eve were tested. You know, what test did Our Lady have? And our Lord explains to her, he says, my daughter, no one can be acceptable to me without the test. And of course, we know that we're tested day in and day out throughout our lives. We receive tests continually to grow in the virtues. Had there been no test, I would have had a mother slave, not free. And slavery does not enter our relations or our works, nor can it share in our free love. My mama had the first trial from the very first moment of her conception. So as soon as she was conceived, she received the use of reason. And she knew her human will on one side and the divine will on the other. And she was left free to adhere to any of those two wills. And without losing one instant, knowing all the intensity of the sacrifice, she knew exactly what it would mean to sacrifice her own will. She was making the sacrifice she was making. She gave us her will without wanting. Our Lord was saying that she gave us the Trinity, her will, without wanting to know it ever again. And we gave her ours as gift. So Our Lady had that opportunity to understand fully what it meant to give up our human will totally, and not even wanting to know it, but to do the sacrifice that would be for her to live totally in God's divine will. So she did receive a great test and suffered all her life, you know, by never doing her own will, suffered immensely.
Yeah. You know, not to commingle things, but you know, when you mentioned the test of Our Lady, again, we all are going to be tested. I remember reading in the City of God, Blessed Mary Agreda, and she was mentioning about Our Lady explained about the test she had when she confronted, or Satan and his minions confronted her, and they tried to appease her. They tried to flatter her. Oh, Blessed Mother! Oh, Queen of the King! I mean, they went on. They were trying to chip away at Our Lady's humility. And she was steadfast. She didn't budge. She remained humbled. And then at the end, Satan and his minions said, I cannot spend another moment with this holy woman. It's less painful in hell. And they ran back to hell. So again, the humility. Again, we talked about it, Sister Francesca. Confidence breeds humility. And that humility is going to keep us focused in what we're doing. We've got about a minute or two before the break, Mother.
And I think we should pray to Our Lady for that same humility. That we can grow in humility, that we can die to our own, holding on to our own wills, to our own ideas, wanting to be right. All these little idiosyncrasies we have that show our pride, to pray to her, to ask her intercession, that we can realize our nothingness. Then we'll have total joy. You know, we'll be healed. We're sick. We're wounded. That's why we have these acts of these feelings of pride, feelings of wanting to be right. You know, we just listened to a beautiful talk by Father Mike Schmidt. He said, what's great about sports is that you learn to lose. We have to learn to lose in life. And we learn to lose, we're happy people.
That's right. Well, you know, going back to Psalm 51, verse 12 tells us, quote, restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. End quote. That's the gift of the divine will. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Radio Maria, Christian Voice in Our Homes. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally. Mm-hmm.
tables turn. I'm on the other side.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to mention also about Radio Maria. Radio Maria is 100% listener supported. So that means if we don't give, there's no Radio Maria. So we have to be generous if we can be. And what a greater day to do it than on this feast of the Immaculate Conception of Our Blessed Lady. Again, Radio Maria founded on the patronage, under the patronage of Our Blessed Lady. So I'd like to make an offer, if I may, that anyone who calls in or goes online and pledges any type of donation in any dollar amount, we will send a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, which contains a piece of her clothing. So that is available and will be given to anyone who makes any type of donation. But please be as generous as you can. We need you. God needs you. Our Blessed Lady needs to keep this on the airwaves. Mother, sisters, we're talking about the Immaculate Conception in the divine will of God, which is one of the greatest feasts that can be. In fact, actually, our redemption began in the womb of this holy woman. And we cannot thank her enough. We cannot thank God enough for our Blessed Mother. And, you know, let's go where it started. Mother, sisters, back to you. I think you're muted, sister.
Oh, I am sorry. Okay.
That's okay.
Hello, everybody. I'm sorry. The mic was off. I'm sorry. My apology. So my meditation is, of course, the Immaculate Conception. It's a beautiful feast. So many graces received as I did my Lectio Divina and asking the Lord to help give me the understanding of my purpose in life. Because Mother Mary, her purpose is to become the Mother of God. But what about mine? Yesterday, we were listening to a talk by Father Mike Smith on Immaculate Conception. And one of the questions was, of course, just that. You know, why is it that Blessed Mother was immaculately conceived? And why am I not? Would it be impossible for God to make me immaculately conceived? Why is it only one woman? And his answer, Father Mike gave us an answer that is because of the purpose of her life. Her purpose was to conceive God in her womb. So she was conceived immaculate through the merit of the Son that was going to be born in her. And so I found a passage in the volume 16, December 8, 1923. Jesus says to Luisa, first you must know that my divinity is one single act. All acts concentrate into a single one. This is what it means to be God. the greatest portents of our divine essence, not to be subject to succession of acts. And if to the creature it seems that we do now something and now something else, it is rather that we make known what is present in the single act. In fact, since the creature is incapable of knowing it all at once, we make it known little by little. Now everything that I, Eternal Word, was to do in my assumed humanity formed one single act with that single act which my divinity contains. Therefore, before this noble creature was conceived, everything that the Eternal Word was to do upon earth already existed. And so, in the act in which this virgin was conceived, all my merits, my pains, my blood, everything that the life of a man and God contained lined up around her conception. And she was conceived in the endless abysses of my merits, of my divine blood, and the immensity of my pains. By virtue of them, she remained immaculate, beautiful, and pure. My incalculable merits barred the enemy's way, and he could do no harm to her. It was right that one who was to conceive the Son of a God be first conceived in the works of this God, to be able to have the virtue of conceiving that Word who was to come to redeem mankind. So first she was conceived in me, and then I was conceived in her. There was nothing left but to make it known to creatures as the appropriate time. But in the divinity, it was as though already done. Therefore, the one who most gathered the fruits of redemption, or rather, who received its complete fruit, was this excelling creature. Having been conceived in it, she loved, esteemed, and kept her own everything that the Son of God did upon earth. So there was the answer. So Blessed Mother, in the book of Genesis, we read at the reading today, in the book of Genesis, that the Lord says, you know, with this woman and her offspring will crush the head of Satan. So with that in God's mind, Mary was already conceived. But because we cannot contain it all, because we are limited, so we had to be under the law of time, so that, you know, we in our mind, Mary was conceived, born, and then Jesus came. But actually, it's the other way around. And the next question is, you know, how am I going to be? You know, of course, I was not conceived immaculately. I am different. But what is it? What is my purpose? You know, I'm not going to bear the Son of God, but what is my purpose? Our Blessed Mother gave us the answer, and I think the Lord too. And I'm just going to paraphrase my thought of my meditation. You know, we are asked to imitate our Blessed Mother. We are not the mother, but we are called to imitate her, to follow her example. And what was the example that she gave us? To not give life to our human will, to let the divine will live in us, and to be that humble servant of God. So I guess when we follow that example, try to live our lives in divine will, calling the Lord to act in our acting, think in our thinking, and doing everything, then we can follow our Blessed Mother example. Not only that, God also gave us so many helps, confession, sacraments, going to Mass. All of these are our aids to bring us back into the grace. Now, we'll continue with the reading here because I'm running out of time here. But anyway, so this was the part where Luisa was asking the Lord, but why is it that Blessed Mother is immaculately conceived when she was born of a woman, Saint Anne, who was born in sin? So why is it? How could she not be contaminated? So the Lord answered this. He said, my daughter, you have not yet understood that all evil is in the will. It was the will that overwhelms man. That is his nature. It was not his nature that overwhelmed the will of man. His nature remained at its place, just as it was created by me. Nothing changed. It was his will that changed. It put itself against no less than a divine will. And this rebellious will overwhelmed his nature, debilitated it, contaminated it, and rendered it a slave to most vile passions. It happened as to contain our full of perfumes or of precious things. If it is emptied of those and filled with rot or vile things, does the container perhaps change? What is placed inside of it changes, but the container is always the same. At the most, it becomes more or less estimable depending on what it contains. Such was a man. So again, you mentioned this earlier, Peter, the value of our humanity depends on what we put into it. If we fill ourselves with human will and throw away divine will, then our value lessens. But our nature being the child of God remains. Our human nature being that original purpose, which is to love, serve, and to live happy life with God, remains the same. It's what we put into it. It's what contaminates us. And I continue here. Now being conceived in a creature from the human race did no harm to my mama, because her soul was immune to any sin. There was no division between her will and that of her God. Now, we learned in the previous readings that divine will can touch anything, including the most filthy things on earth, but it can touch, it can purify, but it can never be contaminated. So this is what happened to Blessed Mother. She filled herself with the divine will through her constant fiat to God and not allowing her human will to overcome her, that she was filled with the divine will. So therefore, dirt, filth, even the Satan himself could not affect her. And speaking of humility, I would like to give you a short example of humility. Humus, earth. And so I'd like to imagine myself like a land. You know, like our Blessed Mother is the mother, is the land of our birth. She is the land of our birth, Mother Earth. And I'd like to imagine that Blessed Mother is the earth, this holy earth. Now, because of her purpose, God did not put these weeds, all these weeds that could have harmed her. And so, but in order for this earth to be fertile, God has to put fertilizers. And what are these fertilizers? These are the sufferings that our Lord shared to our Blessed Mother. These are the fertilizers, the crosses. And out of this grew beautiful flowers, fruit trees. These are the virtues of God that he wants to share in us. And my difference with my earth is that I am full of weeds. And so I need to come into the divine will and go into the sacraments to pull out the weeds of my earth to be that, to copy that example of Blessed Mother. So now we have our humility being earth, knowing with the knowledge that we are earth. Apart from God, we can do nothing. That is confidence. Confidence comes from knowledge, and knowledge comes from our true relationship with God through prayers and living truthfully in the divine will.
Amen. And you see, you touched on it also, sister, about God giving us everything we need. I mean, everything we have is adequate for salvation. Of course, we know that. But that stanza 12, restore to me the joy of the salvation and uphold me in a willing spirit. We have to remember what Jesus says in volume 14, September 11th, 1922. He says, quote, therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have its primary purpose that man take possession of my will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments I instituted, the many graces given to my saints have been the seeds, the means, the way in which to reach this possession of my will. Everything has been there as a stepping stone to get to where we need to be, which is to go back to the order, the place, and the purpose which we were created. It's moving forward, going back, something like that. Hello, sister.
Hi. Hello. Today, the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady, I wanted to share an excerpt from, this is volume 3, this is about charity. When the visionaries of Medjugorje asked Our Lady why she is so beautiful, she said that it's because she loves so much. This is from December 27, 1899. It talks about that, that charity must be like a mantle that covers one's action. Charity must be like a mantle which must cover all of your actions in such a way that everything must shine with perfect charity. What is the meaning of your being displeased when you do not suffer? That your charity is not perfect because suffering for love of me and not suffering for love of me without your will is all the same and disappeared, leaving me more embittered than before, wanting to touch a key too delicate for me, which he himself has infused in me. In our life, there are many voids of love, like when we feel upset or displeased or resentful, that means there are voids of love. But we have to fill this void with, of course, we don't have ability to love. So we have to ask him to give us the flame of love to Our Lady, and also from Jesus, because we have such tendency to incline to sin, and because of our faults and our weakness, we find it hard to love without difficulty. So one time, Luisa also was afraid that when Jesus was staring at her, and he wanted to find some delight by reflecting himself in her, by looking in her thoughts, gazes, and words, and in all. But she was afraid that she is not worthy enough. So then Our Lady came. She had a pure white garment in her hands, and she covered it. She clothed her with the garment, and she said, "I will make up for you by clothing you with my innocence, so that in it, reflecting himself in you, my son may find the greatest delight that can be found in a human creature." So just like this, we got to ask Our Lady to give us the mantle of innocence, of her virtues, of her innocence, of her charity, wisdom, of light, of her obedience and kindness. Then that way Jesus will find delight in us, not by looking at us, but by looking at all the merits and virtues of Our Lady.
Amen. You know, you mentioned charity. You know, the grace and attribute of charity, our Lord tells us, binds and allows for all the other virtues. It's the catalyst. Without charity, there are no other virtues that can grow and prosper. And that's incredible. So charity is that much more important. Each and every one of us. Hello, Sister Gemma.
Hi, hello, everyone. As Mother and Sister Francesca was saying, that the Virgin Mary is, we need to think of her about like a real mother. And whilst I was reading this passage today on volume 24th, December 8th, 1935, Jesus said, she loved us so much, I mean, she refers to the Virgin Mary. She loved us so much that she arrived at loving us for everyone. She covered all creatures. She hid them in her love, and she made us feel the echo of the love of everyone and of each one. And when I was reading this part, I was thinking of how the Virgin Mary is like our an earthly mother, I mean, much more superior of an earthly mother, but when a child does something wrong maybe the father is upset or someone is upset, what does the child go does? He runs to the mother to be protected. He goes to the mother to find find defense from the mother, and the mother does it. I remember when I was little and I was doing something, I was running to my mom to defend, to ask for protection, and this is what the Virgin Mary does. She covered all creatures, she said here, and she hid them in her love, as she made us. And so she covers us when we do something something bad, and I'm sure everyone does something bad sometimes. We can just run to the Virgin Mary and ask, please ask, help us to, maybe you can cover us. You can do something. You can help us to grow in humility. You can help us to try not to to do the same mistake again. Or I don't know. But she definitely will help us. And then on the same volume later on, it say, in fact, there is no grace that descends over the earth. There is no sanctity that is formed. There is no sinner who is converted. There is no love that departs from our throne that is not first deposited in her heart of mother, that forms the maturation of that good, fecundates it with her love, enriches it with her graces, and if necessary with the virtue of her sorrow, and then she deposits in it in who must receive in it in a way that the one who receives it feels the divine paternity and the maternity of her celestial mother. And again, it came out when I was reading it, the same kind of example, like when a child is little and you need the mother will do everything for the child, will prepare when he has to go to school, the mother will prepare it, will comb the hair, will put the same the right cloth, she will prepare. And the same is here, our mother, the celestial mother, she will do everything for us. So she will she prepares our souls for everything and for everything that we need. And as mother was saying, we really need to go to call her to, and actually Francesca, I think she was saying to have this create this relationship, because she's there and she's just waiting for us to accept her as a mother and call her as a mother.
Amen. Yeah, you mentioned just about always going to the mother. The mother's always there even when the father gets upset. I remember someone saying once that when Jesus closes the front door to heaven, Mary opens up the side window. So she's always there for us. She's always advocating for us, like all mothers do, like all paternal mothers. Hello, sister.
Hi. Hello, Peter. Yeah, like you said, Mary is actually like the gate and the eye of a needle of a New Jerusalem. Like she gets us in, you know, even through the little doors. And I was just thinking, so when Our Lady said to Saint Bernadette, she told her, "Yo soy Immaculada Concepción." I don't know if I said it right, but I am the Immaculate Conception. You know, she said, "I am." It's not like I was immaculately conceived. I mean, it's like it makes me think that was kind of the plan A of God. If Adam and Eve didn't sin, we would all be immaculately conceived, you know, without the original sin. And I was just reading from volume 25 on December 8, 1928. I was thinking, why did all creation exult with joy and celebrate so much the Immaculate Queen in her Immaculate Conception? And Jesus says to Lisa, "With the power of our fiat that she had in her power, she bound God and man. So all creation, heaven and earth, and even hell, felt in the Immaculate Conception of this virgin little girl, just newly born in the womb of her mama, the strength of the order that she was placing in all creation. With my will, she associated herself with all as their sister. She embraced all. She loved everything and everyone. And all longed for her, loved her, and felt honored to adore the divine will in this privileged creature." I mean, so we were just watching yesterday the movie It's a Wonderful Life. In one scene, the main character, like Angel, makes the thing like he didn't exist because that guy wanted to kill himself, and then the angel showed him what would happen if he didn't exist. So everything was changed so much and for the worse. And I was just thinking, imagine if Our Lady was never conceived. I mean, imagine, or if she wasn't like preserved from the original sin, I think the world would just like collapse into itself. But really, like the impact was so huge that I think maybe, you know, we for her Immaculate Conception, we can, I don't think I exaggerate, like it's the dawn of the divine will of the, you know, of the kingdom of the divine will on earth. I think really, without exaggerating, maybe, you know, the world would just like collapse into itself because of the abundance of sin. So yeah, it's kind of like we exist because of it. Thank you.
Yeah, God knew exactly what he was doing when he created our Blessed Mother. Hello, Sister Jacinta.
Hello. So my meditation today is from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, Day 1. The Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, the first step of the Divine Will in the Immaculate Conception, of the Celestial Mama. So I'm just going to read just a few passages, just like kind of skipping around. So Mother Mary tells Louisa and us, "You must know that I knew my human will only to keep it sacrificed in homage to my Creator. My life was all of divine will. From the first instant of my conception, I was molded, warmed, and placed into its light, which purified my human seed with its power in such a way that I was conceived without original sin." And then skipping down to another part. "Now, child of my heart, listen to your mama, banish your human will, content yourself with dying rather than concede one act of life to it. Your celestial mama would have been content with dying thousands and thousands of times rather than do one single act of my will. Do you not want to imitate me? If you will keep a sacrifice in honor of your Creator, the divine will take the first step in your soul, and you will feel molded with the celestial aura, purified and warmed, in such a way as to feel the seeds of your passions being annihilated. You will feel placed on the first steps of the kingdom of the divine will." So Mother Mary here, she's encouraging us to live in the kingdom of the divine will, to sacrifice our human wills to the divine will. And as the sisters were saying earlier, she is our mother, and she's so much more higher than an earthly mother. And she wants us to live in the divine will, and she's willing to take us under her blue mantle if we allow her to. Thank you.
If we allow her to. Great, great way to close that. Thank you, sister. Mother, we've got about a minute. Any final comments?
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, go to Our Lady. You know, go to our Lord can never say no to his mother, because she lives totally in divine will. And it says in here, I was just reading in volume 30, "In sum and everything, she is the queen, all doer, who is unable to remain idle upon her throne of glory, but descends, runs as mother into the acts and needs of her children. So she will take your acts and clean them up, make them perfect, and give them to her son, Jesus. So call her into all of your, help you out as you call Jesus into all of your acts, to help you, ask your mother to help you make a perfect acts of love to him. Who can never say no to his mother. So she'll take care of you. She'll go to her son, Jesus, and intercede for you like you can't ever imagine, you know. I was a little saying in Medjugorje, if you knew how much I love you, you would cry of joy. Our Lady says that. So go to Our Lady, you know, for everything. And she will take care of you. She's a loving mother, queen of heaven and earth, and queen of the divine will.
Amen. Yeah, I remember when she said that to Louisa. She says, "If you want miracles, go to my mother, as I can deny her nothing." Yeah, that's just incredible. That's how powerful Our Lady is, and how humble. I'd like to end, Mother, with a commentary by Saint Augustine. Again, we talked about Psalm 51 and part of the Hour of Grace. Saint Augustine's commentary on Psalm 51 is actually could be a commentary on the divine will as well. He says, "Quote: You do have something to offer. Don't look around the flock. Don't prepare ships and travel to distant regions to bring back incense. Look into your own heart for what may be acceptable to God. The heart has to be crushed. Why be afraid of it? When the heart's destroyed, it will be crushed. There you have your answer. Create a clean heart in me, O God. For a clean heart to be created, let the unclean heart be crushed." End quote. It's like Jesus told Louisa, "Look like you're doing nothing while you do everything." You've been listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our home. We thank God for this opportunity. We thank Radio Maria. We thank you, Mother and sisters, for your vocation and for your fiat. Ciao, everyone.
Ciao. Ciao.